Now, in the book of Isaiah, in the fourth chapter, I want to read just a little bit, and I don't know just where we'll go from here in saying something to you. If you can receive what I say tonight, God bless you. I love you. If you came, you leave and walk out on me, well, God bless you. I love you anyway. But what I tell you is absolutely the profound truth. It is a fact. It is happening. It will happen. It will not be altered. It will not be changed. It is not something that we've dreamed up in 15 minutes. It's something that I have proven for many long years. Above all ministers that I've ever talked to, all kind of denominations, all kind of religious walks, and I've never found one, not one, that could shoot holes in it. And I've talked to the greatest in the land, both men and women alike. Not one have I ever met. So it is a proven thing, and it will save your soul and keep you from the fire. All right, now, I want you to listen real carefully in the fourth chapter. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. All right, now, I want to talk with you. Now, when I say talk with you, I want you to listen at me real good, because when I say I want to talk with you, that's what I want to do. Now, before I get through talking with you, I usually wind up hollering at you or preaching to you. But I have to talk with you to be able to get your minds in a frame of understanding to where you can understand spiritual revelation. Folks, if you don't know anything about revelation, you need to do something. How do you know that? If you cannot understand spiritual revelation, you need to do something. Paul said, pray that God will give to you the spirit of revelation. Pray that he will give it to you. Because if you don't have the spirit of revelation, you can't be translated. So pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation. Pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding, that you might not just be an intellectual person that reads some natural thing and know nothing about anything except some natural word to just dispute with people over, but come to a spiritual meaning and a spiritual understanding of what God is trying to tell you. God is a spirit. God is not an intellectual letter that somebody's going to fight over. God is a spirit, and he has a spiritual understanding that he's trying to bring to you. And the only way in the world for you to be partakers of it is for you to be kind and humble and sweet and be filled with the charity of God. That's the only way. Now, I come to you and I talk with you because I love you. Out of the bottom of my heart, I talk with you. I talk with you because I want you to understand the things that I'm trying to get over to you. I know that if you will listen, then you'll get something from God. God will give you something if you will listen. How do you believe that? When we come together in the name of Jesus. We come together to worship the Lord. We enter into his sanctuary with thanksgiving and with praise. If you come into the sanctuary of God and you didn't come in with a heart of thanksgiving, something's wrong with you. If you come into the sanctuary of God and you didn't come in with a praise in your heart, something's wrong with you. No matter what way you come into the house of God, if you don't come in with a thanksgiving and with a praise, something is wrong with you. If you come in with resentment and fault finding and dispute and debate, then you are on the wrong trail. When you come in with love, understanding, desire, wanting to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, wanting to bless somebody, wanting to help somebody to understand better, try to do something to be a light that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is the right way. Hallelujah. All right, now, the Bible tells us here that after God has purged Zion, that is the church, Zion will go through a purging. Now, after that she has been purged, all of the filth shall be washed away. And then in that day the trees of the Lord shall be few. But the Bible said that in that day they that are left in Zion shall be called holy. Holy. They will say they are holy people. Like a few days ago, I remind you again when we were in Palestine, there over in Jerusalem, and you were there with me, when the guide said, I've never seen people, Brother Pike, like your people. Said, your people are holy people. I remember that. See, and they shall call them holy. They that are left in Zion shall be called holy. People will know that they're holy. You won't have to say, I belong to a holiness church, or I'm this or I'm that. They will know that you're holy. So then, God will wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and they shall be called holy. Now, there is some great things that are taking place, some great, marvelous, and some mighty things taking place. This may sound foreign to you, but even the shooting that just occurred in Gastonia, North Carolina, when Bill Padere is a noted minister all over the world, or different parts of the world, he's noted, when he shot his wife just a day or two ago, there was something great and mighty and outstanding in the spirit that was taking place at the very time he did it. And the thing that took place at the shooting was exactly in line with what God had spoke to me. It was exactly what I told Brother David would happen to the tabernacle. It's exactly what I told the brethren here that would happen to the tabernacle. Now, I don't mean in shooting his wife, but I mean the thing that occurred at this particular time and at this particular hour was just exactly the way that we had said it would happen. Now, that's a shocking experience for somebody to do a thing like that. But nevertheless, the plan of God stands sure, and it has to come to pass just exactly the way that God says it will come to pass. The Bible tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One, that we should know all things, that we have the mind of Christ, and that God has made all things known unto us, that nothing should be hid from us. Isn't that wonderful? God has given unto us the mind of Christ, and he tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. You know all things? If you know Jesus, you know all things because he's all things. All right? Now, he's the beginning and the end, and everything in the middle too. The thing that has happened, even the coming of John Kennedy that came to visit with us a few days ago, the young fella that came in, been to Japan, came here, his name being John Kennedy. He came in at a very precise moment where I had spoke concerning the resurrection of the dead. Being named John Kennedy, this had a specific meaning, and that meaning had to do with the resurrection of the dead. Now, you're going to follow me tonight? John Kennedy coming with a man named Mark. It's easy to see that that relates back to the Catholic Church and to the mark of the beast and what it has to do with. Whereas it proved out the other night to be exactly the way that we had spoke concerning this boy. On one part, he represented the resurrection of the dead, his name being John Kennedy, God using him. Now, things took place it has taken place in the last few days so many outstanding things that I would have to write a book just for the few things that's happened in the last few days. We're nearing the camp meeting, as you very well know. In the middle of this year, I say that the American government will collapse. As I live before God, the American government will collapse. And the middle of this year, in their centennial, it marks the collapse of the American government. A lot of people will never see the thing that's taking place. They will never understand. They will never even notice it. But with the moving of Jimmy Carter, it has to do with it. I remind you again that we said that the government of the United States will move from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, Georgia. It will do it. Somebody said, oh, that'll never be, but it will do it. It has so far, according to what we said. It has done it. Since we've made that statement, I remind you that they built the largest Congress building in the world in Atlanta, Georgia. Not only that, but you remember Kissinger called together the leaders of the world and had a meeting of people of all nations in Atlanta, Georgia, instead of Washington, after that we had said what we said. Then when we said that they would discover a waterway to Atlanta, Georgia, the papers or radios carried it that they had gotten a waterway to Atlanta, Georgia. Then we said that black power will rise up, take over the government of the United States, and found themselves as a headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. And from there, she would become the international city, one of the most prominent cities in all of the world, and that she would hold herself up when all of the rest of them crumble, and that they would fall under her leadership. Isn't that right? So far, it has happened exactly that way. Out of nowhere springs Jimmy Carter, a nobody and a nothing as far as they're concerned, the world's concerned, but all of a sudden, God has magnified him, brought him up, put him in the spotlight, and he has to do with Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I made the statement that it had to do with Kennedy, had to do with Jackie Kennedy, had to do with Ted Kennedy, and had to do with the Kennedy, John Kennedy, that was killed. I brought it out on tape the other night in what way it had to do with them. And since we made that statement, all of a sudden they found out that Jimmy Carter is a brother by illegitimate means. He is a brother to the Kennedys. He really is a Kennedy, not a Carter, according to the paper. Now, that brings it down just exactly right, doesn't it? So then, that means that something outstanding is taking place. I'd like to elaborate just a little bit, if I can tonight, and point out a few things as to what I see in it having to do with Little Bethlehem. First of all, everything is heading up in Atlanta, Georgia. I remind you again, I heard the voice. The voice said Atlanta, Georgia is finished and gone. Atlanta, Georgia will burn. I saw the nations and divisions as they came to Atlanta, Georgia, and the foreign nations came and looked at Atlanta, Georgia, and looked at her ways of debauchery and the evil way that she was doing, and they frowned on her, and they became disgusted with her, and they went away, and the voice said, she is finished, she will burn. After that, I said Atlanta, Georgia would burn. You remember they published the article with Maynard Jackson, the mayor, sitting as Caesar, fiddling while Atlanta burned. They published that in the paper. Now, coincidental or not, God did it, didn't he? Everything is happening the way that God has shown it. I said that the power would come in with the black man, that the government would switch over to the black man, that Washington had to do with the government of the white man, and that when Washington was finished, the government would switch over to Atlanta, Georgia, and it would be the power of the black man. Now, Jimmy Carter, The paper stated that no politician has ever at any time took such a great stride toward the black man to get his vote and support. Is that right? That's what the paper said. And it is evident, according to the report, that in the state of Ohio, that it was the black man that caused him to take the state in the voting. Now, I said that it will come in with the black man. The black man will take the government, and it will become a black government. All right, you say, but Brother Pike, if Jimmy Carter is a white man, how can it be a black government? That's easy. Because the Bible says that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. To lead the black man to bring in the type and shadow, it would have to be a white man that would come up. And the one he would have to be connected with Kennedy, in that Kennedy is the one that made America drunk by imported whiskey. And it is the son of Joseph Kennedy. According to the paper, they have proven that it's the son of Joseph Kennedy. And I said this was the hour of Joseph, when Joseph would be raised up and all of the world would turn to him. And I said Georgia would be magnified above the states, and in coming up, that it would be a great thing. And at the time that it happened in Atlanta, Georgia, that it would signify the little stone hewed out of the mountain, Stone Mountain, growing till it become one of the wonders of the world, filling all of the earth, a headstone. Is that right? That the six flags or eight flags or 10 flags or whatever they call it would have to do with the gathering of the nations. Now, in that a little place called Rome is nearby, then Rome, Georgia signifies that this is the place. And now all of a sudden, I said that when we came into the area, that our trucks first stopped in Little Bethlehem. Or it wasn't Little Bethlehem, but it's Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, where our brother Ridgeway's from. That it stopped in Bethlehem. And when the truck went out on us, it was on the corner of Manger and Star. For so they named the streets and the city with the coming of our ministry. Isn't that something? And accepted the little town to be a celebrated town called the Christmas Town. And there our mailing permit was for a while, right there at the corner of Manger and Star. Right in the front of that was where they have the nativity scene of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manger birth. Then we moved from there, started in that little old bitty dirty place that's right there behind the post office, a little old barn that wasn't fit for nothing. Born in a stable, and God moved it down here to a baby farm to bring forth the man-child. How many of you understand what I'm saying? But it had to be Bethlehem, so he named it Little Bethlehem. It started up there, so he brought it down here, but he didn't take it from Bethlehem. He just transferred Bethlehem. So then he's got a spiritual Bethlehem here now. Now, so then, we see the thing transpiring in the great hand of God upon it. Now, in this coming year, this camp meeting is typical of Joseph and the brethren rising up during the time of the famine and all of the world becoming hungry and without food and all of the world turning to Joseph. It's going to be signified in the natural by Atlanta, Georgia, and it's going to be signified in the spiritual, in this little place called Bethlehem right here in Monroe, Georgia. You say, I don't believe it, but it'll still come to pass. The Bible said, can your unbelief make God's word of none effect or the faith of God of none effect? It will come to pass. The city of 7 governors, the pillars of God in this little place here that was established by a man by the name of George Walton. Here, 7 pillars. The Bible said wisdom has hewn out her 7 pillars. And the 7 great political powers that is recited here indicate the pillars of the great message of God that is to spring forth, which is not just another word, but a government of God. For the government of God shall be upon his shoulders. All right. Now then we see this great thing taking place. So many things that are moving. We spoke of the of that Elijah stone being transferred down here. We got it on tape of what it had to do with at the time that Brother Parnell's tent came from Indiana. All right, now, in that this is called Jack Creek, in that that is called the Elijah Park where we was, that at the very time I said the message would break forth and Brother Parnell would come over here, it was at that very time that they took the stone and put it up here in Monroe that was called the Stone of Elijah right there. Now, this great outstanding thing is taking place. God has raised you up as a membership of the man-child, not calling you a denomination, not calling you some religious sect, but he said to you, ye are God's. You're the membership of this revelation of Jesus Christ that is to spring forth from Monroe, Georgia. You're the membership of it. Now, I want you to look at a few things and types and shadows and see if you can tell where you're going. Now, John came down the other night. John Kennedy, you remember the boy that's named John Kennedy, said in the men's meeting, there I expounded the revelation of the Lord Jesus to the brethren. I said to the brethren, I said, now brethren, the Lord is among you. I said, but he is going to leave you and go back to the Jews. With that, I got up and walked out. I told Brother Beretta, I said, go back, Brother Beretta, and you'll find out that the boy that came in by the name of John Kennedy, he'll get up, stand up, go up there, take that book that he's got and open that book to try to sell it, and it will typify the resurrection of the dead and him typifying an angelic being that took the book and opened the book at the resurrection of the dead. And the Bible said the book was open. He took a book and opened the book, and it was a Bible dictionary. Now, you know that a dictionary is definition of names. How do you know that? Your name written in the book. You understand what I'm saying? God takes the foolish and abase things of the world to confound the wise. So then he did exactly what we said. There, the resurrection of the dead, the book was open, the checking of the names. It was at midnight that it took place. At the very same time that this was taking place, it could have been just before or just after, but it appears that it was almost identically the same time that the shooting occurred over in Gastonia, North Carolina. I had pointed out that the Antichrist would come in and that Lucifer would be cast out. Now, when I say these things, I am not trying to reproach anybody, nor hurt anybody, nor to belittle anybody. Whether it's a black man or a white man or a minister or whatnot, I greatly respect him and reverence him and point no finger of accusation and try to ask you to understand. But I have to tell it like it is if I'm going to bring out the mind of Christ. In Gastonia, North Carolina, that's called the Tabernacle of God. Is that right? I said that when Brother Branham went off the scene, that it would go to Brother Junior Jackson in the sleeping condition. From that, it would move eastward. I did not know that Brother Jackson had prophesied that it would move eastward. It moved eastward, came to Brother Bill Padar's tabernacle. Brother Jackson said Brother Branham ordained him in a dream. See, that goes back to the sleeping stages of it. Brother JT's disputed with him over it. But anyway, it went back to the sleeping stages. They came to North Carolina, Gastonia, and there Bill and Junior became friends. And the thing prospered, greatly prospered, to about 7 television stations and 80 radio stations and many multiplied thousands of publications around the different parts of the world. Then the Lord sent me over there, and I went with Brother David Allen. I did not confer with Bill at this time, though I'd preach for Bill. But God does whatever he wants to do. And I went in there, and after we was there, I left, and I said, now, Brother Brother Allen, I said, from this time, I said, this tabernacle, this move here will begin to subside and it will go down, down, down. That was a big statement for a little country boy. But nevertheless, it happened exactly the way that we said. Just a few days ago, a couple of the deacons had left. Now, it went down, down, down. It had gone up, but it went down. I said, your wife, Brother Allen, will get discouraged and disgusted with it and turn away from it altogether. He couldn't hardly believe it, but she did. She had done the tape for Brother Branham, had done them for Brother Bill, and now she's doing them for us. I said, Brother David Allen, who is typical of God, running a dry cleaning plant, you know, processing people, cleaning people up, having the American cleaners. First he had our cleaners, typical of the Jews, went over to American cleaners, typical of grace to America, and then you watch the American cleaners, something will take place. Already they put him at a dead end, cut the road off, but something will take place and God will turn him around right back to where he come from. Just watch and see. And I said he'll become interested in Harrisburg and his first home, that God will restore. God said, I will restore. There's a Trinity man in the building right now. You understand what I'm saying? In the days of grace, the Trinity goes. Because from Calvary, it is a Trinitarian dissecting. But at the end of the church ages, as before the church ages, it is a Jesus name gospel. One God. Have you understand what I'm saying? But the Trinity is a veil within the veil for God to give grace. All right, now look at it. You know, the tapes that we've got where we preached concerning Brother Roberts and different ones and what they represented. Brother Osmond, Brother Armstrong, Billy Graham, how that every one of them has dropped out, went to the place that we said they would go. How do you know that's true? I said at the tabernacle of God that Brother Allen would be there, it would prosper. He gave $24,000 that had to do with the 24 elders, him being typical of God. When Brother Allen left, I said, now the wrath of God will begin to turn in that direction. I said, and I never met the man, Brother Leon, his brother, Brother Bill's brother. I said, Brother Leon is the man that the tabernacle will turn to. Does anybody here remember that? I said, it will turn to Brother Leon. I've never met him till today. But I said, I see in the Lord what God has revealed to me, that it will turn to Brother Leon. Well, that was just about, as the world says, in left field, because Brother Bill wasn't about to give that to nobody. But I said it will happen because of what the revelation shows, and Brother Homer Brown will leave the tabernacle of God, and he did leave it, and immediately this Brother Leon came in, and they turned to Brother Leon, and Brother Allen told me when I called him up, was it today or yesterday? When was it? Today. I called him up today. He said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, I told him about, you know how I said it would turn to Leon. He said, Brother Pike said, it is a fact that 1 month ago that Brother Bill Padares gave up the tabernacle and they officially made Leon the pastor. Said he doesn't even come to church. Said Bill doesn't even come to church except on Sunday. So then it fell to Leon. Now you say, why would that be, Brother Pike? The Holy Ghost showing you things to come. It was because the word Leon spelled backwards is Noel. How many know that? You ever spelled Leon backwards? My middle name is Leon, and I never know that Leon spelled backwards was Noel until I was in it over in the North Carolina, up at High Point. And the Lord spoke to me one day while I was seeking the Lord and told me to turn my name backwards. When I did, it said Noel. I didn't know what he was trying to tell me then, but I knew later. Now, I said when Brother Allen withdraws from the tabernacle of God, that after that he will turn to Leon, and when it turns to Leon, that the move of God then will begin in a little Bethlehem here. All right, now, when he turned away, it happened exactly like we said. Brother David Allen withdrew. When he withdrew, they made Leon the pastor. Today, the tabernacle of God. Now, I want you to listen to this. The Bible said in John's revelation that, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And I said that the tabernacle of God, as it is called in Gastonia, it has to do with a move of God, and that Satan would ease into it
and that he would be there showing himself as God, but God would destroy it with the brightness of his coming. Now, Brother Pedaris leant toward the Trinities because he fellowshipped the Trinities in his early ministry. He brought some of them in there. Some of them got converted over. Now, that represented Brother William Branham, who was numbered with the Trinities, the Assemblies of God, and others. Not that Brother Branham was, for he was a Jesus name man. But being numbered with them, it was typical of that that was within the veil, because Brother Branham was a Baptist preacher. How do you know that? His daddy was Catholic, which goes back to that side of it. You follow me? Brother William Pedaris, Brother William Branham, Brother Bill, Brother Bill. You see what I'm saying? One side of it being Jesus, numbered with sin, back to Esau the hunter. Numbered with sin. Not that they were sinful, but numbered with sin in the first move of the Trinity veil. Brother Branham numbered among them. His great revival was among them because of Jesus' name people rejected him. Read it in the book where he said that he went to the Jesus name people and they rejected him. Jesus went to his own, the Jews, and they received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Which means that Brother Branham turned not him but God, tabernacling in a little body, just like he does in your body, turned to the Gentile people to get for himself a bride. Moving in the Trinitarian veil, giving the light of the gospel in a broken down means of prosperity and blessings and kindness, and not requiring anything in the days of grace, continuing to heal and do all those wonderful things. That's how the woman preacher got into it. God has never called a woman to preach, but she got into it because the Bible said it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man. Being the woman age of America, God severed it, that he might bring to pass his types and his shadows. Now it will turn back to the Jews, the male perspective of it, and the man will begin to take the head of the house and the woman will begin to come under subjection. Woman, America, the woman world, the woman ruling, the woman taking over, the woman everything. Which means that the church, which is the woman, has had her own dogmas, her own ideas, her own disciplines, and went her own way and rejected her head and lost her glory. How do you remember the message on the covering of the glory? All right, now. So the woman, which is America, the woman's age is over. No government has stood more than 200 years. And they're celebrating their 200th year, their birthday. Now, American government is over. She's gone and she's finished. God is turning back to the Jew. You say, I can't believe that. Why was it that Jimmy Carter just recently was talking to Golda Meir? Why is it that two Jewish people rose up and the Jewish people made the statement that they were for Jimmy Carter? Why is that? Why is it that I said the black man had to do with the Jew and the black man is backing Jimmy Carter? The black power of America represents the last type and shadow of God being through with America and turning back to the Jew, because the black man represents the Jew in this third dimensional part of Revelation. Abraham Lincoln, his father, isn't that right? Abraham of old, the father of the Jew. It's one and the same thing. All right, now, in the days of John Kennedy, the black man got his start, really got his start. Now, and then things went hard for him. Now, here comes the son again. Remember I said the presidency still belonged to John Kennedy, for he died in office. So then it goes down to his seed, right on down to his brother, right on down to his family. In the Old Testament, if you married a wife, it was the same way. If your you died, and the brother married the wife, and right on down, and right on down, that the inheritance was kept in the family. Isn't that right? So here comes a Kennedy up to take it, and God's blessing him, raising him right on up. Don't care what politicians say. I don't care which way they vote. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Daniel said, God ruleth in the affairs of man what God said will be. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now, so then we see this great thing taking place. God is doing a great, outstanding, terrific thing. Not that I'm anybody. Not that you're anybody, not that the white man or the black man, But God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. He is something. All right, now, let's look at it a little bit, just a little bit closer. That Brother Bill Padere's tabernacle, the tabernacle of God, with the brightness of the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ that got to Brother Bill's followers. It got to the followers when we had the tract crusade. It went there. The message that we preached at Utica Pike, it is finished. The lost and the found from Brother Branham's changeover that we spoke of, how many remember that? That message went to David Allen to the Carolinas. Brother Bill's followers got it. We've never got it back. They've got the tape on the rapture, and as far as I know, we've never got it back. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, we went by Brother Bobby Woodruff's place a few days ago after that Missouri meeting. You remember what we said it had to do with the Gateway of the West? Woodruff, like a cross, the Episcopal Church and those things. We can't go in that because that just throw you off trail. But I just dropped that in to remind you of what's happening. You understand, according to the tapes that you've heard and the message you've heard. See, in other words, Brother Bill Padere is connected with little Brother Green and Brother Bobby Woodruff in that area. How do you know Mount Pisgah's in that area? Mount Pisgah's where the children's about to go to make the record. See, Moses looking over, seeing it, but couldn't go in. Brother Branham said he went up, he looked over, he saw the women in the long dresses in the next dimension, but could not go in. In other words, he couldn't go beyond the veil. You see what I mean? In other words, he passed on. He never did come to that. Now, in that the tabernacle of God, the coming of the revelation of Jesus, which was troubling the brother because his people was getting into it, that was the brightness of the coming of the Lord. So an expose of the wrong was to be brought about. And so it has been that the expose, for he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but with the brightness of the coming of the revelation, it was to change and go out, and God was to raise up Leon, which had to do with Noel. He did it. Now, all happening at the same time when the little John Kennedy opened the books, the resurrection of the dead. You follow me? All happening at the same time. At the very same time, the car that had to do with Brother Branham, that Brother Ron had, that he got from Brother John Jameson, went over to Firestone, and there the wheels was to come off. Now, I want you to listen. You've heard that old saying of don't have any wheels. All right, now, the vision Brother Coon saw Brother Branham about the year of 66 just before was he was setting in the desert the wheels off of his car. You remember the wreck that Brother Branham had in the Ford. It had to do with the same thing that the Brother Ron had. You remember the death of Brother Ron's dad, the trip to California. It had to do with it. Firestone. How do you understand what it is? There, the wheels was off. All because of an impounding of $66. And trying to explain it, but the man wouldn't listen. God had his way in it. You follow me? So then, in the thing that God does, he uses us. He uses Brother Ron. He uses me. He uses you to try to show us what's going on. We're members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God uses us to show in the earth the mind of the living God. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, Satan is cast down. I picked up the chain. Brother Ron remembers this. I picked up the chain. I brought the chain out. I walked down in the bottom of this building down here. And I knew that that chain had to do with the binding of Satan. A simple little thing. I picked it up. I walked in there. Tommy walked in. Tommy cartridge, which means a little book. I took the chain. I throwed it over into a box. And I got up and I looked at the box and I said, Lord, there's something to that. You had me to throw it in that box for a reason. I looked and in that box was a tube of caulking. On the side of it, it said lightning. I said, my, my. And something said to me, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven And there came down an angel with a chain and bound him and put him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And Tommy's standing there with a shovel. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, all of that thing was taking place. Everything was transpiring. You want to listen just a little bit longer now? All right, now, that thing was taking place. God was doing something outstanding. I saw the Lord in His will and way as He was showing me how that place down there where I was at was going to become typical of the marriage supper. And I'll show you how in just a few minutes. Now, at this camp meeting, there is a great significance. I said that Brother David Allen, withdrawing from Brother Bill Padares, would turn his favor here. He hadn't turned his favor here for a long time. Not at all since we've been here. He immediately come down, gave a couple of $100. The other day he sent another $100 down here, and he's turned his favor and support toward this, and told me over the telephone today, said, Brother Pike, said, I really love you. That's what he told me today. You understand what I'm saying? God said, I will trouble them that trouble you. I said here not too long ago, all of them that have troubled us, that God would take away your travail and bless you. And all of them that troubled you, God would trouble them. Every one of them is in trouble. How do you understand what I'm saying now? All right, now, little brother Dudley Raines that comes from Elberton, Georgia, the prophecy of the man-child by the California preacher. Little Dudley Raines coming down with John Carnes, had to do with the Revelation. I'm baptizing. I remember Ted Carnes. When I baptized him, John had a vision, said the end of all flesh. Carnes, the name means flesh. Baptized Ted, the end of all flesh. Burying the man dead. You follow me? So then, little Dudley Raines came, rain, the latter rain. How do you follow that? The man child, a little feller, but yet he's a man. Yet he looks like a child. Little Dudley Raines came to me the other day. He wants to demonstrate some cookware. God choosing the foolish and the base thing of the world to confound the wise. So he said, Brother Pike, I can prove to you that there's death in the eating of the other food and the cooking utensils. And I can prove to you scientifically that our cooking vessels does not produce death. You follow me? So then next week, if everything goes right, he's going to demonstrate down here in this building. See, the food has had death in it. They said there's death in the pot. But the prophet took it out. How do you know that when we went to Palestine, that down there in our home right now, we got some of the actual water that we brought back from the springs where Elisha threw the salt in after coming over Jordan and healed the waters. How do you know that? I got it right down yonder. Now, right at this time, Sister Warden, if you remember, I said, sent us some papers concerning death in the water. How do you remember that? J.C. Ward, Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Ward, you know the accountant. Thou shalt give an account there of the day of judgment. Are you following the type now? Both death out of the drinking, death out of the eating. The man child on one side, J.C., Jesus Christ, accountant, give an account thereof on the other side. You see what I'm saying? So then, when he gives the demonstration in the lower part of the building, it will mean that the message of God that has had the leaven mixed with it from the time of Pentecost, the Old Testament shows it, from the time of Pentecost where the leaven has been mixed that brought death, that is sin, a little leaven, the whole lump, that it went through the church ages, but the catching up of the man-child back to Dudley Raines, that death gets out as the church ages. So then, we go down there, he has the supper. When we have the supper down there, he's going to demonstrate, scientifically show, that he has taken death out of the food. See, the marriage supper, the man-child, the gathering, death out. You see it? From then on, we'll feed the multitudes down there in the natural food. But it typifies that this message has no death in it. That we're preaching, passing from death to life. Hallelujah. That you don't have to die. Amen. Have you understood what I'm saying? Glory to God, a mystery. All of us shall pass from death unto life. Behold, I show you a mystery. Not all sleep, but be changed. That death is past. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is this message through the many-membered body of the man-child, becoming the head of the nation and the camp meeting, the gathering of the people unto Joseph. You understand what I'm saying? At this time, there is a great thing taking place. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. That's why all of the Carolinian people came from the Carolinas down here. These people had been under the jurisdiction of Brother Bill. Come on now. Isn't that right? Because that was the one that had the control. You told me that. But when the tabernacle goes out up there, then behold, it comes down to earth on the new earth. And the tabernacle of God is among men. Somebody said, Brother Park, that couldn't possibly be. How do you know that Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, you're the temple to the Holy Ghost, you're the tabernacle of God, you're the one that God saw among men. How do you know that the tabernacle's name was Jesus? And the Bible said those that was the nearest thing to a son of God that's a man that's a beast blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called. That's Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the name of the tabernacle, Jesus, you're dead and buried, not you living, but Jesus. You're the body of the Lord, the tabernacle of God. How do you know it's among men now? All right. Now, a lot of things I want to say, but I'm going to have to come to a close here and wait, as I always do, till next time. But there's a lot of things I'd like to say. There's a whole lot of things I'd like to say concerning the tabernacle and the connection up yonder. But listen just to these few things and let me close. Coming from Utica over to the Carolinas, the lost and the found, from the Carolinas down to here. You understand what I'm saying? Coming down to here, and all of a sudden, now the government coming into Atlanta, which typifies the Jew coming in to rule with a rod of iron, everything set just exactly right, the natural and the spiritual parallel and running side by side, every step of it, in line, everything ready to go back to the Jewish nation. Why? Because it's the end of the world. In other words, in the middle of this year, in the middle of this year, it denotes the end of the world. Now you say, Brother Pike, are you saying the end of the world is coming? Why, well, say, you know the end of the world ain't going to come. Well, the end of the world couldn't come. No way. Somebody say, you talk about the end of the world coming. Huh. You just wait a day after tomorrow, and then I'll tell you how wrong you was, and you see the sun still shining. I'm not saying the end of the world's coming. The end of the world couldn't come. The end of the world's done come already. Peter said way back there at Calvary, you're the people upon whom the end of the world had come. The end of the world was at Calvary. But this has been the church age, it's not the world. Hallelujah. That passed away back there. It just ain't been made effective because man looks on the outward appearance. But as soon as we comprehend who we are and what we are, going way back to Calvary, the revelation of Jesus where the man child was caught up at Calvary, Satan was cast out. As soon as we comprehend that, the world will automatically comprehend where they're at. And they'll see it all ended at Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? This has been the church age. And somebody said, now, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? You mean to tell me that you're not in this world? I'm not only not in this world, but I'm not of this world. Jesus said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, who is the Spirit, until the restitution, the restoring of all things. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Christ is hid with God in the eternal Spirit, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God by His Spirit. You like that? Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. There's so much more that we could say here. We could just go on. Keep on going on. But what I try to do
is not to weary you with a lot of preaching. I preach to you once in a while, and then I get the others to preach to you. But I try to preach to you enough to keep you up to date as to what is taking place in the signs of the time, in the things that's happening. Don't forget, when I said the other night, some of them misunderstood when Sister Betty made the statement, said, I feel like I finished my course. Some of them misunderstood when I said something here. I tried to explain it to Betty. I said, whenever you finish your course, it's one of two things. Either you've come as far as God could take you, 30, 60, 100 fold, because you won't listen to reproof. Or either, if you finish your course like Paul said concerning the church when they finished their course, that behold, from henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me and everyone that doeth the will of God. So then if you've finished your course in that you've come into the Word of God and tried to accept it the best that you could, whether 30, 60, 100, whatever, if you've finished it to that extent in a typical thing in your labor out here, then from henceforth there would be a crown. You would be sealed in while God begins to do His work and the wrath of God falls on the world. That's going to be an unusual thing. You just watch and see. You're going to get confused, but if the Lord spares me to live and spares me to stay here, I want to explain to you from time to time when you get confused and you say, Brother Pike, I don't understand this because it sure looks rosy when you said it was going to look dark. You come over and I'll tell you exactly the way you're looking at it. That's right. Because it isn't going to be the way that you think it is, but it's going to come to pass the way that we said it is. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. If I sound like I was hollering at you, screaming at you, I didn't mean to do that. I don't mean to hurt you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world nor abuse you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring you in under a bondage of fear of mankind. Even though the Bible said if a prophet prophesied something, it'd come to pass, fear that prophet. I'm not trying to bring you in under the fear of a man. I'm trying to bring you in under the fear of God. Because, folks, the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. If you don't fear God, you'll never have eternal life. I want to say this to you in the way of exhortation tonight. Remember, if you resent, find fault, backbite, gossip, dispute, become corrupt, be contrary, do everything unlike Jesus, you do not have the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you do not have the nature, then you do not have eternal life. For we are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. That is eternal life. How can I know then, Brother Pike, that I am partakers of the divine nature? The nature of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. He, the Spirit of truth, when He comes back, He'll testify of who? The Word. So if your deeds does not conform to the Word, your life does not conform to the Word, if your everyday speech and life and the way you walk and the way you conduct yourself does not conform just exactly to the Word, you do not have the nature. If you offend in one point, then are you guilty of all? How do you understand what I'm saying? All right. It's good to have Sister Floyd back in church. Didn't know where we was going to have to send a spiritual mama over, you know, and let her give her a good spanking to get her back or what? She's been gone for a number of days. Take some of these mothers in Israel. You know, the Bible speaks of mothers in Israel. Take a few spiritual mothers and have to send them out to get these children back in. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down He was crucified. Oh, that was the blood of God. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, glory to His wonderful name. Oh, glory to His wonderful name. Oh, there to my heart
was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name.
You know, Brother David Allen told me the other day, said, Brother Pye, said, you made the statement it would be 12 years before the change of the government. Said, Brother, said, the tabernacle has been 12 years. 12 years. And said, it's happened the way that you said. Can you sing it again? Oh, there to my heart.